Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Paul Gallant.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
The most interactive sports radio show in Houston.
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Now Stroud hanging in, throws it to the near side, picked up. And on the return for the Pats, sidestepping ahead is Mills, takes it back across the middle, trying to turn the corner on the far side. It's still on his feet until he takes the spill at the 24.
Well, that wasn't good. Hello and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show on this Friday. Got to get down on Friday, August 11th of 2023. On the heels of a Houston Texans 20-9 preseason opener against the New England Patriots, CJ Stroud did not play particularly well in two series. And I know there's a lot of reaction to this. I'm very curious about yours. 713-780-3776 is how you call in. It's how you text into the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. But I want to know how you feel about what you saw yesterday. I'm going to read a couple of headlines before I tell you how I feel about this. The headline from the Houston Chronicle. It's hard to judge C.J. Stroud for his two series and his debut. What comes next is most important. ESPN, C.J. Stroud struggles in Texans' debut. NFL.com, Texans rookie quarterback C.J. Stroud besieged by Patriots pass rush in preseason debut. CBS, C.J. Stroud struggles in debut. Associated Press, number two pick C.J. Stroud struggles in his preseason debut. Barstool, what an absolutely atrocious interception by C.J. Stroud on his first NFL preseason drive. I don't know that struggle is a fair way to describe what we saw out of C.J. Stroud. I do think that he was running for his life a lot. I did think that compared to Series 1, he was better on Series 2. And I think a lot of last night and what we could really gauge from C.J. Stroud was dampened by the fact that he did not have a good offensive line in front of him and truly was besieged, as the NFL.com headline wrote. Austin Deculus is number 76 on the Houston Texans right now. I don't think he will be on this team much longer. He was a turnstile and almost got C.J. Stroud killed often in this game. And yes, there were definitely some moments, specifically that interception, where Stroud actually had time on 3rd and 25. He had Tank Dell open at the beginning of that route, but he stared him down, didn't throw the ball right away, which is what you were looking for in a Bobby Slowick offense. Trust that your receiver is going to be there before his route is complete. Put the ball there, allow the guy to make the play, and instead what Stroud did was he hung on to it, he stared the guy down, and he ended up throwing an interception. It wasn't a good moment. But I did think that there were some signs when it comes to C.J. Stroud of things that, okay, can be built upon. First off, I thought he did a decent job of evading the rush, all things considered. He was under pressure right away. I also thought, after that first sack that he took, that he did, and of course the interception, that he did a better job of checking the football down, which is something that he's going to have to learn to do. Throwing the football to the flats, throwing the football to running backs, that is what happens when you're under pressure. Devin Singletary dropped the first one. The second one, where he ended up getting roughed, he threw that one out of bounds. So that's not to say that I thought he played well. But I thought that over those two series, I thought there was growth from series one to series two. The biggest problem was that the offensive line that was in front of him, just awful.
Doesn't it feel we kind of like have to grade him on a curve?
Because
the interception, and you talked about it, and we'll hear D'Amico talk about it later on. He was bad on multiple fronts. He was really, really late to the ball. It was one of those classic kind of fears you have for a guy coming out of a spread system where it looked like he had to see it instead of anticipate the throw. And he was also staring the receiver down the entire time, as Andy Kalou pointed out on the ABC 13 broadcast. But that looked like a rookie throw. And overall, like you mentioned it just now, I thought he recognized Todd a couple times really well. He adjusted to what he was seeing, and he was... to say he was under pressure all game, it was two series, but to say he was under pressure the whole time is an understatement. He had guys in his face immediately after the snap, every single play.
That's Brian McDonald, and for Sean Mapes behind the glass, and BMAC is right. I think that ESPN measured it as 60% of C.J. Stroud's passing attempts he was under pressure, but it felt like it was more than that.
It felt like more, yeah.
And Austin Deculus is terrible. Sorry.
If he's
terrible.
On this team, if he's playing in a game, that's a problem.
He
was giving up pressure, felt like every single play.
Just about every single play. But let's
not to cut you off, but even on the non-passing attempts, on some of the running plays, Devin Singletary was having to juke people in the backfield.
Yeah.
So it wasn't even just the passing play.
Right. I point to that third and one. You think Rex Burkhead was capable of that? So at the very least, hey, you have better options than that. So after the game, here is first what C.J. Stroud had to say about that first game and the interception.
Just wish I didn't do one mistake on one certain play, but other than that, thought I played solid. It felt good to get hit again. And just get back in the groove. I just think that preseason, that's what preseason is for. It's important just to get back and put your feet back in the water. So, I'm not super excited how I played. Didn't get to play a lot, but just get my feet in the water, learn from my mistakes, and just keep growing.
I think the big thing for Stroud in this one, getting hit, that's something he's going to have to get used to. Realizing that on that sack that he took for a 15-yard loss, he's not going to be able to escape most pass rushers by running around like that. That's big to learn. But I also think that coming out of this one, the ability to learn on the fly is something that we have heard about at the very least in training camp throughout. I felt like there was glimpses of that. And hopefully, in the future, you're going to have C.J. Stroud on the field with receivers who can get open a little bit more quickly. I felt on a lot of the routes that were being run that those receivers weren't necessarily that open. Credit to the Patriots defense for playing the way that they did out there. And I think that the other thing here with Stroud that he is also going to just need to get better at is it's just getting the ball out quickly in that Bobby Slowick offense. That is the 100% number one thing that you got to do in that thing.
Yeah, and I still think it was. I don't know if you noticed this with the way the Texans were drawing up some of their plays, and it wasn't just like on the third and long where he ends up throwing the interception, but a lot of the pass designs, other than that quick dump off, there was a quick dump off to Nico to start the game, and there was one where he rolled out and threw like a little, I think it was a little 4-yard pass to Devin Singletary. But there was a lot there when he received pressure where it seemed like a lot of the routes were 15, 20 yards downfield. So it was kind of a perfect storm of they were calling plays where he had to wait because there's a lot of late-breaking routes. And then he also had guys like Austin Deculus living up quick pressure. So I think it was kind of a perfect storm for a guy seeing his first NFL action. He wasn't set up in a great situation.
No, he was. No. Austin Deculus shouldn't play. I'm focusing on him probably a little bit too much. And again, everyone's trying to make themselves an NFL career here. But you don't have Tytus Howard because he's hurt. You don't have Laremy Tunsil. You don't have Shaq Mason. You don't have an effing chance. Stroud did not have much time at all to work through it. And I felt at the very least, there's a little bit of mobility there. That's really all you can take away from it, though.
I mean, the two quote-unquote starters they had on the offensive line were rookie Juice Scruggs, or rookie, and obviously Kenyon Green, whose worst trait last year was as a pass blocker. So
correct.
Arguably, of your five starting offensive linemen, actually probably not arguably, you had your two worst pass blockers amongst the starters that were actually out there, and then you had three backups and guys who shouldn't be on the team, like Austin Deculus. So yeah, Stroud was not put in a great situation last night.
D'Amico Ryans is the head coach of the Houston Texans, and here is what he had to say about C.J. Stroud's first game in the NFL.
I thought it was good for C.J. to go out and get some live reps, get some real looks. Thought he moved around well, was a went to the right place with the ball a couple times, you know, and it was good to see him move out of the pocket and try to make some things happen there. We know we have some things to clean up front. I don't want him having to move as much, but we all have things to clean up and get better at. But I thought it was a good first outing, good look at live action. So I thought it was good for him.
It's good to see him out there, obviously. He's playing in a real game. I felt like there are moments in this game that'll make him better. But I think to take a look at a lot of the gut reactions, immediate reactions, which we constantly do in the preseason, to what Stroud did, these headlines, ESPN, Stroud struggles in Texans debut, NFL, Texans rookie C.J. Stroud besieged by Patriots pass rush, CBS, C.J. Stroud struggles in debut, AP, C.J. Stroud struggles in debut, the other one, what an absolute atrocious interception by C.J. Stroud from Barstool. I do think that is overdoing it, and it's something that drives me crazy every single preseason. There's a lot of overreaction to what you see immediately, specifically when it comes to rookie quarterbacks. Both good. Remember when Mitchell Trubisky had the greatest preseason ever as Chicago Bears starting quarterback? And bad. Sometimes these guys go out there and they don't look good very early. And guess what happens? Over time, they learn, they get better, and the next thing you know, we're talking about a totally different thing. You cannot come out of this preseason game with any strong reactions to it, specifically because of the offensive line, specifically because of how little Stroud was in there, but also because it's an effing preseason game.
And honestly, Paul, and this might sound like a weird take to have, but I'd rather CJ go through this, go through some adversity, see some things he hasn't seen before and give him something to learn and give him something to D'Amico to talk to him about. Then maybe he throws a quick slant that the receiver does all the work, takes it to the house, and then he's done for the day. And everyone's feeling great, but he didn't really accomplish anything. He didn't learn anything. He didn't see anything new. So I think this is better than – and that happened to Brian Hoyer. Hoyer wasn't a rookie at the time, but Hoyer comes out in 2015, throws a quick touchdown pass, and then he's done for the day in that competition against Ryan Mallett. So I'd rather have this than that, where a guy doesn't learn anything. He doesn't really get challenged.
He is BMAC, and for Sean Mapes, I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Astros were not able to complete a sweep of the Baltimore Orioles yesterday, but you do got to be feeling pretty good about them as they move to the six-man rotation this weekend in L.A. Plus, if you have thoughts on what you saw from C.J. Stroud yesterday, maybe you disagree. Maybe you think C.J. Stroud was an effing disaster. I think you're wrong, but you want to bring that to the table, have at it. It's a Friday. Friday, got to get down on Friday. The Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're hooked up with it.
You hooked up with it. You decided to marry it. I told you I wasn't into it. You said it didn't matter.
Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.
Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here is your ambiguously gay host, Paul Gallant.
The fresh out of down, Stroud looks to throw under pressure and brought down. Staying with it, Daniel Quale with a sack for New England.
That one wasn't good. C.J. Stroud, I think, thought he could escape that rush. Didn't really have much of a chance, and I think he's learning that, yes, he does have a little bit of athleticism. He can escape the rush. He can use his legs a little bit more, but he's going to have to get the ball out a little bit more quickly. I did think that from Series 1 to Series 2, we saw improvement from C.J. Stroud. And, of course, if he had been there a little bit longer, maybe we would have seen some more. The other problem, though, is that had he stayed in some more, he might have died. Like that's the other problem here. Austin Deculus, who was playing right tackle, not George Fant, not Titus Howard, no Laremy Tunsil either, he did not play well. And I think that if we're really highlighting anybody and their struggles from yesterday, I would do it less with C.J. Stroud, though that interception was bad. It was bad, no doubt about it. Third and 25, sometimes you just got to learn to, hey, take the easy play, the check down, and live to punt instead of throwing that bad interception, which did set the Patriots up for that first score. Like, you can't turn the football over like that. In a third and 25, especially if the route isn't even past the sticks, like, you're not winning there. So hopefully a learning experience for Stroud. We'll see, though, of course, the next game. I don't think, as suggested by some, that this means that the door is now open for a Stroud versus Mills competition. I really don't. Mills got a lot of work. Mills didn't look bad. There were a couple of moments where the ball didn't, you know, go exactly where it needed to go. but this is not a competition. I still think that this is over. It is the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in and text in if you want to talk about C.J. Stroud's performance yesterday. The Astros took on the Baltimore Orioles and got a lot of work from Jose Altuve, who is now back over 300, hitting with a 4-for-5 performance yesterday.
Altuve sends one high in the air to center field. That sends Austin Hayes back, still going back, looking for the wall, reaching up, and it is gone, a home run. Jose Altuve hits one out to center, a ball that kept carrying over the 410 mark at center field. Altuve's third hit of the game and his ninth home run of the season.
Moving in to this weekend series, if you're the Astros, you got to be feeling pretty damn good, even if you did lose that last one. Because once again, despite a rough start from Hunter Brown, there's been a lot of those this year, and a lack of production offensively at the plate outside of from Jose Altuve, who was 4-for-5, down 5-2, once again, the Astros beat the hell and made that Orioles bullpen work. I mean, they beat the hell out of them for a second straight game. And I know it wasn't five runs in the eighth and ninth like you saw Tuesday, Wednesday. But yesterday, they scored one in the eighth. And, I mean, they had the one in the ninth. They left the bases loaded. And unfortunately, it was just Jonathan Singleton at the plate with the bases loaded against Felix Bautista. If you're Felix Bautista, I mean, how do you feel going forward the rest of this year? High leverage spot. Against the Houston Astros, you come in not once, but twice, and you struggle with command. You're walking guys. He is scared of this team. So, frustrating that you weren't able to give Baltimore its first sweep of the year. But at the same time, going into this weekend series against LA with Justin Verlander on the hill at Minute Maid Park tonight, you got to be feeling pretty good. You, I think, showed the Orioles that you're still daddy. Daddy! Or a zaddy. Suppose it could be the latter. Not really sure what a zaddy is.
I have no idea what a zaddy is.
I think, B-Mac, it's like an older, successful man.
So not Macaroni Tony?
Well, Macaroni Tony's successful on the grand. He is old, and he's successful on the grand.
He's got that part checked.
Yeah, I mean.
I mean, I guess he's successful as far as Instagram followers.
A-plus feather
work. Not to bring that up again.
Stop. Okay, I don't want to remember that serial predator with a feather. So I guess that, like, you know, in a rule by rule of law, he's technically not a predator. But Mr. Feather himself, Tony Macaroni, who is not Italian, is not, like, we're not talking about Governor Cuomo or something like that. You know, we're just talking about a man dressed like a pimp with a feather. If you weren't listening yesterday, this man had his ass beat. Because he went up to a family and used this feather to try and tickle the bottom of an 18-year-old girl. Now, he didn't touch her, but they all beat his ass.
That's what he claims.
Right. She said, though, that he did not touch her.
Okay, that's fair. On this one, but there are videos out there of him doing this exact same thing.
Correct. Yeah. And there are also videos of him getting his ass beat.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I still feel like
you should try like the the penne poly and maybe go, out to the mall and see if you can get scrounge up some Instagram followers.
I think you got to come up with something a little bit more different and a little more creative. But for all I know, yeah, you're probably right, B-Max. So Tony Macaroni is having the I don't know if he's paying off cops or something like that, but it seems like the investigation is into the people who beat his ass.
Sports, C.J. Stroud or Tony Macaroni?
One more time, I didn't hear you.
I said, who had a better week in Houston, Tony Macaroni or C.J. Stroud?
Yeah, I mean, C.J. Stroud did look like Tony Macaroni getting beat up by a family.
That's what the offensive line did to him, for sure.
At least C.J. Stroud could escape, you know, getting beaten up, where Tony Macaroni, and this might be a byproduct of being in your, you know, 70s, even as an influencer, like, yeah, your hips, after a while, they start to go. Your mobility, your ability to escape the rush, your ability to stand in there and take the heat and take the hits, like, not there for Tony Macaroni.
I mean, what we didn't see in that video, because I think they may have edited out, Austin Deculus was in that video trying to protect Tony Macaroni.
Imagine if you're...
He whiffed and, you know, Tony got his ass beat.
Imagine if Austin Deculus is your bodyguard. Oh, wait, imagine it.
What celebrity would you like him to bodyguard?
I'm just saying, don't wait, you're dead.
Yeah, just
the answer. Austin Deculus got you killed. Austin Deculus, was he there in that car with JFK? I don't know. I'm just asking the question. Probably by age, I don't think that would
be possible. Yeah, he was up on the grassy knoll.
Would not be good if the Texans had a 70-year-old tackle starting at right tackle, but I don't know. Maybe he'd be better. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We do have an update, by the way, after a Texans 20-9 victory over the New England Patriots, where C.J. Stroud didn't look great, but I don't think it was really his fault, and it was a very small sample size. Also, the Astros, they did take 2 of 3 from the Orioles, but they weren't able to complete the comeback yesterday. You know, this show, we're keeping you aware of the big things that matter, like Tony Macaroni, the Galleria Menace, who goes after people with a feather, and he's like, hey, look at me, I've got a feather. Can I touch your bottom? Can I touch your bum bum? Hmm? He says it just like that, too. But also...
Why do you sound like a leprechaun all of a sudden?
Well, I don't know. I'm just creating a character, BMAC. Also, remember, this show made you aware of non-human intelligence. We were the first ones to tell you that there is malevolent, non-human intelligence. It has been found in UAPs, and people have actually testified in front of Congress saying that this is fact. I figured this would happen sooner or later, but weeks later, we're finally getting the smears against David Grush, one of the guys who testified in front of Congress that he has seen non-human intelligence. There be alien bodies, and it took them a really long time. Here's what happened. They found, to try to discredit him, that in 2018, he was committed to a mental health facility because he allegedly made a suicidal statement after his wife had told him he was an alcoholic and that he needs to get help. I guess there was something that happened in 2014, too. They're trying to protect what they know from being made public. And yeah, maybe society can't handle all that stuff, but David Grush and this slander, I will not stand for it. I will not. The non-human intelligence is out there, folks. 713-780-3776 to call in. To text in as well. You can join us on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. Non-human intelligence. One more time.
So the truth is out there.
The truth is out there. Non-human intelligence. Okay? You might be worried about C.J. Stroud in the preseason going forward. You might be worried about if the Astros are going to be able to win a World Series. But the real deal...
Can we give Austin Deculus some non-human intelligence?
Can non-human intelligence play backup right tackle? You could probably exploit their labor, right? They're not flying back. You know, if the UFO here crashed...
Yeah, are they even subject to the CBA?
I don't know.
I don't think they actually would fall under the salary cap. I think it's a great idea.
It's a great question. From the 713, good to win the series against Baltimore, but Hunter has only been successful 5 of 22 starts through 7. He's also second guessing Dusty Baker here. Yeah, he's struggling. Like, what do you want me to say? You know, this texter continues. Baltimore left 0 on base in scoring position, and the Astros left 12. And as great as Tucker is, a couple of blown plays, the last one cost the game. Bases loaded with John Singleton at the plate. I think more like you just fell victim to an unfortunate circumstance where, yeah, he's in a spot, and maybe you move him down the lineup a little bit more. I don't know why he was batting, you know, what, 6th. But that's why you lost.
It's a guy, he was facing a guy with, what, like a 150 ERA, and Singleton's kind of a 31-year-old rookie. He's batting, what do you want?
Singleton's not even batting 100. Like, so, I mean, there's an unfortunate spot right there. But, look, we'll see what the Astros are able to do this weekend, and I'm very excited about Justin Verlander being on the hill. Coming up next, you got any thoughts again on C.J. Stroud's performance yesterday? You can share them, absolutely. We'll also talk about what's going on in the NFL with the 10-minute drill, 27 days away from the start of the NFL season. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, right where you belong.
You're the only one left of the Wayne family. This is where you belong. Welcome home.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues on the Paul Gallant Show.
Some other things that I noticed in the Houston Texans 20-9 preseason victory over the New England Patriots that had nothing to do with C.J. Stroud. Did you guys notice a guy who came into the game as the third quarterback for your beloved Houston Texans? I'm not talking about Davis Mills and all you Mills Mafia truthers out there who need to be institutionalized. I'm talking about the discussion that nobody is willing to have. Not even University of Houston alleged honk, Jeremy Branham, has the stones to say what I'm about to say right now. We all saw it last night. The great Case Keenum, arguably the greatest quarterback in the history of Houston. Arguably. I'm not going to lay out that argument because I'm too lazy. But Case Keenum needs to be in the competition for QB1 for your Houston Texans. That is my application to First Take. I don't know why I'm yelling. It's time for the truth to be heard. I, a unpaid, unbiased observer of the Houston Cougars, unlike that shill Jeremy Branham, say that it's time for Case Keenum to compete with CJ Stroud. End rant. Thank you, Case Keenum, for helping the Texans cover in last night's game.
I mean, people have said that Pauly G is the number one Cougs fan in the entire city.
The greatest in the entire city, B-Mac.
I've heard that. Yeah, the greatest. Especially not Jeremy.
Yeah.
Jeremy Branham might be like 1C, maybe.
He is
but
paid.
You're number one.
He is paid. I am not.
His affection is bought.
Correct.
Your loyalty is free.
Correct. I am an arbiter of truth.
I mean, Andre Johnson, soon to be Hall of Famer, has touchdown passes from Case Keenum on his resume.
Oh.
Has it caught a pass from Davis Mills?
That first half.
Case Keenum helped Andre get into the Hall of Fame. There, I said it.
You're right, B-Mac. Case Keenum. Sunday Night Football 2013 against the Indianapolis Colts while his coach was stroking out. 3 touchdowns.
In the first half.
In the first half.
Does it matter what happened in the second half?
The Colts kind of forgot what was going on, but people aren't ready to talk about how 10-year veteran C.J. Stroud needs to be, as I break this table, competing with Case Keenum, not Davis Mills.
I mean, first off, I don't think we can replace that table, so please be careful. But second, we haven't heard the reasons why his coach did have a stroke on the field. Maybe it's because he was in awe of Case Keenum's play.
That's the best point I've ever heard, D-Mac. People aren't ready for that. But serious observations from last night's game. Will Anderson is doing what he continues to do.
His first step was great.
Holy Christ.
His first step was amazing.
Off the left edge, I forget what play it was specifically, but just like you've seen in training camp, he is just blowing by tackles.
Yeah,
He's so fast off the line of scrimmage, and it's in a way where it's not like with Jadeveon Clowney, who was offsides half the time. Clowney always had a great first step. But Will Anderson, and again, we're not talking about high-end tackles. I don't think the Patriots had their guys in there. But that first play in particular, and a couple other ones.
There was a play where someone else got a sack. I don't remember who it was.
I think it was Jonathan Grenard.
It was Grenard, okay. But I remember watching that because I went back, and when the first guys were in, I kind of would watch each play a couple times to look at different guys and see what was happening. And on that play, had Grenard not got there, Will Anderson had completely burned his man. He would run right by him.
He has, I think, been the stud of Texans training camp. And it's based more on the observations of others. But this was consistent with everything that we have heard said about Will Anderson in training camp. With Stroud, what we have heard is that he learns quickly and that he has gotten better over time. But I think there's still a lot of room to grow. Anderson, from the start, has been very, very good. And I would say, if you're looking for, if you got to pick one of those two, you're putting money on one of them to have a real chance at winning Rookie of the Year. I would say between those two, right now, again, it's August 11th of 2023, Anderson over Stroud as far winning Rookie of the Year at his position, Defensive Rookie of the Year.
And Grenard, obviously the sack, but he had another play that you mentioned Clowney earlier. He kind of looks like Clowney, where he shed a run blocker just immediately right off the snap, threw him to the side and made a tackle for loss in the backfield on one of the Patriots running backs. So, positive signs from Grenard as well.
Yes, the pass rush as a whole. I thought Kurt Heinisch had some good moments. I thought Roy Lopez had some good moments. And again, it kind of goes to show you that offensive lines in the preseason generally suck, which is why the game is largely an unwatchable product. Also, the Patriots field. Jesus, guys, clean it up. The amount of, rubber pellets that you could see. You could see why all these NFL players are bitching and moaning about the fields. That field looked like ass last night. All I could see were the rubber pellets. I could barely see the grass. Not good. One last thing as far as the observations from last night's game that don't have to do with C.J. Stroud. Tank Dell, there is a burst to him that is exciting. Again, you're going up against guys who aren't the top corners on the New England Patriots, but I love the catch that he had in the end zone. That was a hell of a catch. I don't know how he came down with that.
I don't know how he kept his eye on that.
Right, but also I like seeing him returning punts, and I hope that he will continue to do what he did in that game. That he was very productive, and there was one throw. This actually frustrates me about Davis Mills. Mills had two throws that weren't great. One was over the middle. It was behind the guy he was throwing it to.
I think it was Tank Dell.
It might have been Tank Dell.
I think it was. I remember. I know what play you're talking about.
The one they showed the replay angle of.
Like a 5-yard crosser, and he threw it behind him.
Correct. The other one, B-Mac, was the one down the right sideline where Dell did this wiggle at the line of scrimmage.
Oh, yeah.
And blew by the guy who was covering him. And Mills did not put a good ball out there. And Dell could have done something with it. I thought Dell, of all the players for the Texans, was probably the guy who shined the most and the longest, because he was in the game the longest. So, by the way, where did he go to school?
Houston. You know what I loved about seeing Tank Dell? What do we hear about Tank Dell, like this entire lead up from the draft to, you know, mini camp and now training camp? Is, oh, he's tiny. He's a slot receiver. He's tiny. He was lining up on the outside quite a bit last night. And not only was he lining up on the outside, and granted, again, as you mentioned, it's not the Patriots' number one corners, but he was beating his guys on the outside. So maybe there's more flexibility and opportunity to get Tank Dell on the field.
I hope so.
If he's not only a slot receiver, that certainly can up his production rookie year.
I am hopeful with him, and I think you got to take everything with a grain of salt, but I think you made a great point there, B-Mac. Lining him up on the outside, that was not something I expected to see. I expected, like, exclusively slot. Again, though, we're talking about going up against backups, so again, like, you know, we all got pants tense right now. Tuck it in the waistband, okay? Like, this is the fake games, okay? We're 27 days away from the start of the NFL season. Best 27s in NFL history. Two of them have been stolen from the city of Houston. Kenny Houston, who played for the Houston Oilers. Nope, he's a Tennessee Titan. Eddie George played for the Houston Oilers, played for the Tennessee Oilers. Nope, he is a Tennessee Titan. There is no God. It is BS that the team was stolen from us, and I'm sad. Okay?
I half expected the Titans to change Kenny Houston's name in their record books to Kenny Nashville. I mean, that's the level of thievery they've been up to.
They should. You're right. I mean, they're just showing these uniforms off, and look.
They're wearing them against the Texans.
I'm sorry for the extreme statement that I just made, too, but, like, Houston football, like, it is just a void, like, sad, depressing, just cloud over us. History gone. Titans have it all. And we can't even recognize these two guys as being, like, Houston legends at some point. So, like, when it comes to football, like, we always here in this city just get screwed over. Brock Osweiler.
Every interception has a story, Paul.
Correct. That's my exclamation point. People are saying I'm talking fast today. Yes. It's football time in Houston.
Because Texans is giving you a boost, man. It's like an energy drink.
A Houston Texans game.
Injected in your veins.
Listen, it's all I've done my whole life. Let's talk about Texans games, okay? And a lot of people are probably thinking, like, Paul, you probably do need to slow down how fast you're talking today. That's a fair point. But whenever I think about the Houston Texans and then think about Clay Walker's football time in Houston, it is as if, and I've never done this before, it is as if I am just diving headfirst into a mountain of cocaine, Tony Montana style. It just gets me super excited. So I'm trying to calm myself down,
too. Excited. You had to deal with the Brock Osweiler years. You were at those press conferences.
Oh, my gosh. You know what,
don't let Paulie get excited, man. This is actually exciting and something worth following, unlike what you dealt with when you first moved here.
Correct. Let's continue to go around the NFL. Did you know that Joey Bosa, the man who lost the game for the Los Angeles Chargers against the Jacksonville Jaguars in the playoffs, greatest collapse in NFL history, how does Brandon Staley still have a job, especially when there are rumors about how terrible, like, the accountability level is in that locker room? I don't know, but Joey Bosa says that he eats 4,000 to 5,000 calories a day in order to gain weight, saying it really isn't enjoyable these days. It's more so just part of the job. I'm trying to think of, like, how I could possibly manage to eat 4,000 to 5,000 calories of food a day.
I mean, there's a way, but I agree with Joey's sentiment. It wouldn't be enjoyable. Like, at some point, you can start to feel sick.
Yeah, I'd want to puke. I mean, and like, your boy
doesn't this kind of feel like a humble brag, though? Yeah, man, I eat 5,000 calories a day to gain weight.
Well, of course, you know, I got to say this about
Joey.
Specifically Joey. Hasn't been a good last couple of months for him, and I thought he looked like an absolute loser, tool outside of that. What was it? Was it the Super Bowl, the playoff game, where some fan was like talking, was
I'm
chirping him up?
Exactly the details.
Yeah, it's he seems to be remarkably sensitive. So anyway, there you go. This is more of an ex-NFL player story, but have you ever heard of Damon Arnett? He used to play for the Las Vegas Raiders. Way back in 2021, this video popped up online. It is Ja Morant-esque. It is the former Raiders cornerback going old school Raiders on social media walking around with a gun.
Somebody 5 minutes away. 5 minutes away. Pull up. Pull up right now. It's 5 minutes away. All right. Pain mask. I swear to God, I will kill you. On everything I love, I will kill you. You talking crazy. Like, I really did kill you. I really did kill you, man. I will real deal kill you, man. And I ain't the only one here, too. You got a whole army in this. Pull up right now. It's 5 minutes away. All right, pull up right now. Amen.
He really sounds like somebody who has his life together. So that was him in 2021 on social media, just wandering around with a gun.
That was him pre-John Morant.
Yes. This is
and that was worse than John Morant.
Way worse. I mean, he's saying he's going to kill. Like, John Morant's like, it's an accessory to him. He's just having some fun.
And he made the point to say real deal many times.
He
like, in case you thought he was bluffing, he made the point out, I ain't bluffing.
So apparently, the latest with Damon Arnett, who I don't believe is in the league anymore, is that Damon Arnett robs porn stars and Instagram models.
Damon Arnett, little football player that played for the Raiders that got kicked off trying to shoot someone or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, I went to the bathroom, stole my bust down Cartier watch, took my other phone and Zelled them all my money out of my account. I have it all on camera, him and his friends leaving my house. Come to find out, he does that to and the did it to me.
Broke.
You that hard up on some cash, dog? You know what? It's cool because karma's the way he acts and moves. He's either going to get killed or get locked up, and that's on God.
I love the on God.
That's on God, man.
That is on God. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. The autumn wind is a radar. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Robbing Instagram thoughts who have plasticked the bleep out of their lips. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da 5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in as well on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. On the table, C.J. Stroud's performance. I don't think you should freak out about it, but it wasn't great. Do you have thoughts on improvement? Put them in the suggestion box. Also, we'll take a look at the Astros going into the weekend. And did you know it's hot outside? How hot? Are you suffering from heat stroke? We'll talk about it all next.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You do like me.
I just don't like you no more.
You do like me.
I don't.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
It's not easy to come to New England as a rookie and go in there and try to execute, but they felt like I did a decent job at that, so I just got to keep growing.
It's a good point. It is hard to play at Gillette Stadium. I would know. It's one of the thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people who have graced the Razor with their rooting presence. It's hard. We've seen guys like Peyton Manning piss his pants multiple times under the lights.
I mean, that Gillette preseason crowd, it's no joke.
Oh, it ain't something to F with.
Yeah, forget University of Michigan, the Shoe, and Ohio State. No.
Well, it's true.
I mean, Gillette preseason.
Right, because, like, you know.
You can't mess with those fans.
Patriots fans were born winners. Like, obviously, like, it's the loudest stadium in the NFL. Just kidding. It's so quiet there all the time. I can't even say it with a straight face. There's, like, no home field advantage there. It was funny to hear Stroud say that in a press conference.
He had Tom Brady for two decades.
I mean, it was a very wine and cheese crowd. After a while, you could tell, like, at certain games, the stadium, when it was an absolute dump, it was patrolled by heathens and absolute animals on metal bleachers. But when they made the stadium nicer and they started winning, the fans were not as good as they used to be. I think it definitely went downhill. But anyway, it's funny to hear Stroud say that. It's a effing preseason game, dude. It's not like you're coming into, as BMAC mentioned, some of those places on the road in front of a hostile crowd. And it's also not like Bill Belichick is throwing exotic defenses at you. So relax a little bit there. just a little
bit. Exotic defense just was that Austin Dekeau was blocking for him.
That wasn't, yeah.
That was the exotic defense part.
It was the exotic defense that D'Amico Ryans was challenging C.J. Stroud with. Anyway, here is C.J. Stroud talking about the oft-discussed interception, which I guess was the first subject this morning on First Take with three, check that. You've got Courtney Cronin, who I think is like the Vikings beat reporter. You have the other Ocho, the less crazy one, Sam Ocho, and you have Lewis Riddick. But they were talking about, to open up First Take today, they were talking about C.J. Stroud's interception. Here's C.J. Stroud talking about his own interception.
Just trust my eyes. I seen a certain look to where I knew in film that they could run that to where the safety, if his man blocks, that he'll come off and really be locked into my eyes. And just lost track of that and just forced it. Should have just checked it down to Dalton. But it was a great play by two, by kind of just hiding out. He kind of was ducking low, so I didn't really see him. Thought I threw a good pass, but of course it wasn't. So hell of a play by number two, and just put that in my back pocket and learn from it. So
sometimes you have to run away to live and fight another day. Sometimes you just got to check it out.
Do you feel there's been a consistent theme with the interceptions that you've thrown this year?
No, I don't. I think every interception really has a different story.
See, it's a better answer than that, too, B-Mac.
I don't know. It sounded like he was giving the story of the interception. See, like, he was hiding out. I didn't see him. I should have checked it down.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to trigger you. I know. I know. Different.
I'm trying. You know what? I'm trying to be better, B-Mac. I'm trying to be a better human. Like, C.J. Stroud's going to be a better human in his next preseason game. Huh? You know, because, look, he is right, Brock. Every interception does have a different story. He just threw a lot of them in 2016.
At some point, he was writing a third and fourth book was the problem.
Yeah, and it's hard to throw interceptions these days. It kind of is. I mean, so with Stroud, I think the big issue there, it's third and 25. Yes, you're tempted to try and make something happen past the sticks. None of those routes were going past the sticks. So with that in mind, you got to get the ball out quickly to the guy that you think is going to be open. He hesitated, and he's going to have to get better at that. In Bobby Slowick's offense, you have to trust that the receivers in that offense are going to be open. Can they get open? That is a great question. They are not the same level of skill that you had with Deebo Samuel, with Brandon Ayuk, with George Kittle, with Christian McCaffrey coming out of the backfield. It's different here than it is there.
I mean, I will say, obviously we talked about Tank Dell and how he was impressive. He seemed to win in his one-on-one battles. And a name we haven't mentioned, and I don't think he had much as far as, you know, his reception total. I'm not sure actually if he had any, but watching John Metchie close up, when I would rewind the plays, he was often, I thought, running a really nice route and winning his one-on-one. So I think he did have people to throw to. I do think Metchie and Tank Dell looked pretty good. But even with the throw that he made, you're right. The correct throw was to dump it down. But it is the preseason, so I don't necessarily mind that he tried to make a big shot, make your mistakes now, not the regular season. But he's just, I mean, you can't stare down a receiver. You can't throw it late.
Exactly.
You can't throw it late. You can't stare down a receiver, and that's what he did.
It's that simple. Don't make it more than it is. Don't make it less than it is either. It's not like he played well, and don't make too many excuses. Deculus, the right tackle, was not good, and he was under pressure. But, I mean, he's going to have to get used to moments like that, potentially, at times, if they go up against specific pass rushes. This was a learning experience for him. Don't turn it into, oh, my God, this was a disaster of a pick. I don't think many people are doing it, but enough people are, at the very least, thinking it in the back of their minds. This is not something that you should be coming with any conclusions out of that really matter. Because guess what? This one, it was two series. Like, sometimes guys have two series that are bad back-to-back in a row, even the good quarterbacks out there.
Especially when you're playing in that, you know, that really loud stadium, Gillette, in the preseason.
It's really hard.
I mean, you got to give them an excuse for that.
You know what else is really hard, B-Mac? Walking to work.
Shout out to State Farm again.
Shout out to me, actually. What is the temperature today? Shout out to me. It is definitely a lot. Shout out to me. Just having the courage and the strength to walk into work. It says it's 92 degrees right now. I don't believe that. Excessive heat warning on the weather app. Guys, it's hot. So right now, we are at 21 consecutive days of 100 degrees. Do you know what the record is? The record is 24 straight days of 100 degrees in August of 2011. That was right before I moved down here. Right before. I remember everyone had been talking about the drought. Yeah, it's been bad. And I'm wondering how many people feel like they're suffering heat stroke. You know? Maybe
you feel like you've been suffering heat stroke on your walks into work?
I mean, I'm just asking because, like,
I know you're a superior athlete. I mean, you dominate flag football games.
But, I mean,
but
could I get – and, again, I've taken a lot of vacation days. But, like, so does heat – like, I'm walking to work because I care about my
job.
You
think that's a legit medical excuse that could get you out of work?
Well, maybe. So let's see. Recognize the signs of heat stroke. Heat cramps. Painful muscle cramps and spasms. Oh, I've had some of that. Now, is it because I've been walking? Maybe, but it could be heat cramps. So I have to apply firm pressure on cramping muscles to provide some relief. That sounds sexual.
Hello, ladies.
Yeah. Heat exhaustion, heavy sweating, weakness, tiredness. Oh, I feel all those things too. Is my skin cool, clammy? It is pale. My skin is pale. Heat stroke. Might be heat stroke.
The undiagnosed heat stroke has been going on for 30 plus years.
WebMD, HoustonChronicle.com. Like, I'm just BMAC. I'm just reading the science and trying to determine for myself right here. So I think a lot of us right now, we're probably suffering from heat stroke, and maybe you should call your boss and say, like, I have heat stroke.
That's the cough you make from heat stroke?
It's Friday at 10:57. I have heat stroke.
I don't know. I mean, unless they have the excuse that they're having to walk to work like you, I don't know how they'll pull that off.
Dr. Dre on 290 says, "Don't be a snowflake." Well, my skin is of the complexity of a snowflake, and apparently, if you're pale, you might be having heat stroke.
No, Dr. Dre. No, come on, man.
Tony the Handsome says,
"I grew up here. I guess I'm as used to the heat as you could possibly be, having grown up here my entire life, but." 21 straight days over 100 degrees is something that you can't get used to that.
Hey, BMAC, it's hot outside.
Especially with the humidity. I mean, come on, Paul. Let's talk about the humidity. Let's go completely basic and talk about it. Oh, it's not the heat. It's the humidity, Paul.
There is no better awkward icebreaker than asking somebody about the weather.
Yeah, especially if you can bring up the humidity. If you know what the humidity is that day, man, if you know what the dew point is that day, you're really starting that conversation.
BMAC, they should send me to like a CIA black site. And here's what we'll do. You know, we're trying to torture like dangerous individuals who are threatening America's security. And you put me in an elevator with one of these people. Okay. And I'm just going to start off by saying, like, hey, man, the weather we're having right now, huh? Just going to give them like the absolute worst elevator
torture out there today.
Yeah, BMAC. I will drive them crazy. I'll just talk their ear off. Like, oh, man, the weather. You know the record for days of 100 plus heat in a row is 24. We're at 21.
I think you should just read off the list of symptoms of a heat stroke. Did you know if your skin is pale and clammy, and you might have a heat stroke? Actually, you're 100%. Looking a little pale there yourself, pal.
100%. Is this a result of climate change? Well, we'll save that for the climate change show. It is the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. What was the reason for C.J. Stroud's struggles? Is D'Amico Ryans in over his head? Does Bobby Slowick need to be fired? We're talking all things Texans, but of course, if you want to weigh in on the Astros too on this Friday, got to get down on Friday. Stick around. It's the Paul Gallant Show, the number one show for Tony Macaroni News. Stick around.